right, good morning, Crossroads, and happy Labor Day weekend. I want to welcome you here in this building at South Kokomo. Glad you're here, and I want to welcome those joining us online, including our friends from Crossroads North Kokomo. Really glad for you guys, and want to let this crowd know something about that crowd. 1 week from today is the one-year birthday of our Crossroads North Kokomo campus. It's been a year. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead and clap. But you know what? We do more than clap. When somebody has a birthday, we say happy birthday. So in just a moment, North Kokomo, get ready. Not sure how much it'll pick up from the mic, but I'll promise you, I'll look around, make sure everybody participates here. We're going to say happy birthday, North Kokomo, at the count of three. Okay, you get ready. One, two, three. Happy birthday, North Kokomo. Yes, one more time. Let's clap. Yeah. We're excited. We're so glad for what you've been able to accomplish there, what God's doing through you and the crowd that's there. Glad you're part of us, one church, multiple locations. And before we start with the message, wanted to acknowledge it's a holiday weekend. Some of you are going to do cookouts, maybe on Monday. Some of you may even work in a time to have some ice cream, okay? And you may say, I don't need any help with that. I know how to eat ice cream. Well, I'm going to show you a new way that may catch on how to eat an ice cream cone. So we've got the tutorial on video. We've got somebody to teach us, so check this out. Yeah, buddy, you just dip that toe in there and, yeah, suck it off. Then get maybe use the other toes. You can sometimes, if you're really good, you can use all the toes. And then watch there. He looks up. He says, oh, is anybody else? Is this catching on? I'm trying to teach here. And then watch this last time because sometimes you may miss a little bit and you got to kind of move it around a little bit. Make sure you catch it all. Get what's under the nail. Yep. Hashtag, a little child shall lead them. So please, if you do that Monday, send me a video because some of you, if you just tell me you got your toe up to your mouth, I'm never going to believe it because I don't think you can. So send me a video. Let me see what you did, okay? All right. We've been in a series for this season called Missing Pieces. And it's been a great series so far. Pastor Chris has done a wonderful job unpacking with us. Remember, first week he talked to us about the fact that it's okay to not be okay, that there are areas of our life sometimes that we don't want to admit they're not okay. We're afraid that's not all right in church, and we want this to be a place, core value of ours, where it's okay to not be okay. But some of us, we don't want to acknowledge we're not okay because we've lost hope. We've been not okay for a while in an area of our life, and you feel like, there's no hope for me. So he talked to us about the fact that Jesus is our steadfast hope, that you can count no matter what is not okay in your life. With Jesus, there's hope. And then the last week, he talked about if we're going to turn to Jesus in the area of our life that we're struggling, our hurt, our hang-up, our habit, yes, even our sin, that we've got to turn from some things to turn to Jesus. We talked about repentance. And he'll be back in the next couple of weeks to finish this series before we start something new the end of September. But want to talk to us today. There's a crucial choice that every one of us here, that God's put a finger on anything in our life that needs addressed. There's a choice we're going to need to make. If you've been listening to this series, probably by now, God has told you why you've been listening. There's an area of your life, perhaps, that you know is not okay. You're struggling to hang on to hope. You know you need to repent. And today we're going to talk about the crucial choice you need to make. Listen, we sometimes think our biggest problems are outside of us rather than inside. This choice deals with what's within us, with what's carefully hidden, with what we shield from the eyes of others. It's a crucial choice. It's a choice to admit what we've been denying, to reveal what we've been hiding and to share what we've been keeping closely secret. And the choice is the choice to confess. It's the choice to confess. We're going to talk about choosing to confess. We're going to read a few verses at the end of the book of 1 John chapter 1. These words are written to those that are followers of Jesus. And John writes it and uses the term we, which means it applies to him and everybody else, including us. So let's read in verse 8. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. Doesn't that sound like week one? Hey, we're not okay. And it's okay to not be okay. We've got to admit that we're not okay. That's what he's saying here. But notice this. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we've not sinned, hey, I've been okay for years. I've never not been okay. If that's our claim, then we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place at all in our hearts. Talking about the choice to confess. And I want to give you something right off the bat so that you know what we're meaning when we say the word confess. It's in your notes, fill in this blank. Confess equals to say the same thing. To say the same thing. And that thing is what God says. To say the same thing that God says. And this isn't in your notes, but just to let you know, the very word, the Greek word for confess is the word homologeo. It's a compound word. Homo meaning same, H-O-M-O. Legeo, L-O-G-E-O, meaning to speak or to say. It's to say the same thing. And I gave you that for free because the next time that you've got to share something with somebody that you are a little bit worried about them hearing, just try going up to them and saying, hey, I need to homologeo something to you. And they'll be so hung up on that word, they'll not even hear what you're confessing. So that's a freebie for you, okay? In secret, hear this. In secret, we can find ways to marginalize, justify, even deny that we have hurts, habits, and hang-ups and sins. But God says we need to confess, to call what's in us what God calls it. And that choice is incredibly difficult for us. And you know why? Well, that's where we start with our notes. Number one, choosing to confess goes against our nature and our culture. There's something inside of us that works directly against choosing to confess. Matter of fact, there's a statement God made in Scripture in the Old Testament, and right now there are people in this room, there are probably people in North Kokomo, there are people watching us online, and as you hear this statement, you're saying, I sure hope that's not true for me, because you're banking on it not being true every moment you don't confess. Here's the statement, Proverbs 28:13. People who conceal their sin will not prosper. That's the statement saying, I hope that's not true, because I'm concealing my sin. I want to prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Now, here's what that statement says. You do not have to choose to conceal your hurt, hang up, or habit. You'll do that naturally. There's not a decision required to conceal. But you have to choose to confess. You'll conceal naturally because you'll ask yourself these questions and it'll move you naturally to concealing. Well, if I share that, what will they think? Well, if they knew that, how would they react to me? Well, if I let that out, how will folks see me? I won't be loved anymore. I've got to keep that concealed. When we conceal, we deceive ourselves to thinking that we're okay when we're really not. We convince ourselves that what is true isn't that big. It's not that bad. We're born with it. No one has to go to concealment school. You don't have to be trained to succeed to conceal. You are born genetically to conceal. John 3, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Several years ago, used to have a family, spent time in our house, and they had a little boy at the age of the story. He was about age 5, 6, somewhere in there. And he liked candy. Okay? Lots of little boys like candy. He liked candy. And we liked giving him candy. We'd give him candy when he comes and other things. One night, they're getting ready to leave. They're looking around. We cannot find him. We look around. We look here. We look there. Check out our house. Isn't that big, but couldn't find him. I walked over to the coat closet to get their coats, and I opened the coat closet door, and sitting in the coat closet in the dark, Indian style, on the floor, was this little guy, 5 years old, holding a quickly emptying bag of candy, wrappers around him, chocolate showing on his lips, and he just looks up at me. I look down at him. You know what? I was thinking, who taught him to hide? Nobody taught him to hide. He had something he knew we didn't want him to do. He concealed it. We not only do this by nature, but we learn it in our culture, in our leaders, and sometimes to our shame within our church. We teach that it's right to hide and conceal, and that's why it's so unusual when we don't. It's not just with five-year-old boys and candy. A couple years ago, I was in Northern Ireland on a spiritual retreat weekend with a bunch of other folks, including some folks from this church. We're at a time late in the weekend where we've already had talks about Scripture. We've already had prayers. We've already had worship. We've had spiritual activities and exercises to get us to address the things in our life. We're almost to the end of a particularly intense time. And we're gathered there, and I'm the leader, and I'm getting ready to say, okay, we're done, let's pray, go to lunch. And there was a guy on the team that's supposed to be helping the other folks there that were attending that weekend, and that guy was 66 years old, and he stood up, walked to the front of the room, and I thought, okay, this isn't on the agenda, what are you about to say? He looked out at the group, and he said, guys, I can't hide this anymore. And he talks explicitly about a sexual sin that he was involved with. He talked about how long. He talked about what it was, the details. And he said, I want to confess it to God, and I want you to come around me and pray. So we came up. We gather around him. We lay hands on him. We pray. God answers. We get done praying, and there's just this silent moment. And then somewhere in the crowd of folks that are praying for him, one of the other guys says, me too. So we move over and we lay hands on him and we pray. And we're huddled up as guys. And you got to hear this. This was not a women's retreat. We weren't doing that hugging on each other and stuff. No, we're on shoulder to shoulder because we're guys, okay? We're up here like this, and there was a voice from the crowd, and it said, me too. And I lost track. I stopped counting how many me toos there were. How many guys said, I'm hiding this, and I'm determining right now to choose to confess it. It's against my nature. It's against my culture. But I'm going to choose to confess because it's the right thing to do. Number two, choosing to confess applies God's forgiveness to our sin. It applies God's forgiveness to our sin. Now, please, if you're ever going to listen carefully, listen now, because we can get off in the weeds with our theology. I want to be as clear as I can. This brings up some really important questions that we've got to answer. When does or did God forgive you? When does or did God forgive you? Because it says here, if we confess, then he forgives. Well, when did he or when does he forgive you? What's the purpose of confessing? And how will God respond when you and I confess? And there's a statement in your notes that I put. I want you to take a look at it here. God forgave us at the cross. We're going to talk about that more in just a minute. We've got to get that straight. But we access that forgiveness relationally when we confess. At the cross, Jesus, the scripture tells us, one of his last phrases was, he said, it is finished. And he died on the cross. At the same time, I can imagine God in heaven saying, they are forgiven. Who? Everyone. When? Then. The decision was made by God to forgive you and I at the cross forever. Let me say that again. The decision to forgive your sins and mine was made by God at the cross forever. No one ever comes to God with a sin and says, will you forgive me? And God says, well, let me think about that. He's decided that already. Your forgiveness in God's heart has been decided, but confession allows God to reassure you of that forgiveness, to remind you of how he feels about you. You must merely confess, and he'll be faithful to forgive. Part of why we don't confess, we say, if I tell God this, he may hold it against me forever. He won't forgive me. And the answer is, he's already forgiven you. But you won't be able to grasp that forgiveness, experience that forgiveness, relationally walk in that forgiveness until you confess. I've been in some places, I bet you have too. Sometimes they put signs outside different places where they have a counter to count different things that they track. Like some places have a safety counter, and it has the number of days that they've operated that factory without there being an injury or something happened where somebody gets hurt walking on the job. Or sometimes they have the number of days that we've been making that particular part or what they produce at that place and without a machine or a line going down. Different things that they count. I want you to imagine a counter in heaven. And that counter in heaven is recording the number of times somebody has come to God and confessed a sin and he's forgiven them. And if you look at that counter and you say, when's the last time God didn't forgive someone that confessed? And the angels that have been there since eternity past would have to say to you, we don't know, it's never happened. He always forgives. He's faithful, meaning he never has a bad day. He's just, meaning he applies it to everyone. He always forgives when we confess. And when we confess, we take the forgiveness that's been decided and apply it to us. And there's a reason for that. Point number three, choosing to confess enables God to repair the relationship we have with him. Now hear me. God loves you. You hear that said in this church and on this stage a lot, and you should because it's true. His opinion of you never changes. He is, as Chris says, he's crazy about you. He sees great potential in you. He has wonderful thoughts and feelings about you. All the statements we made are true, and they're always true. However, unconfessed sin puts a wedge between you and God. And confession removes that wedge. Check out this verse from Isaiah 59. Your iniquities, that's a word we'll not explore into. It's a phrase in Scripture referring to our sins, our hurts, habits, and hang-ups that go contrary to what God says should be true in our lives. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now that's not saying anything about God. God doesn't get in a bad mood. God doesn't know. But there's a problem between you and God. And I want to make sure you heard it in this way. Take a look at this statement. Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and accepting his death on the cross to cover your sin establishes a relationship between you and God. Period. It's all on Jesus to provide it. You accept it. And you become his child, he becomes your father. Sin, after that point, damages that relationship. It does. And confession brings forgiveness, which repairs the damage. Let me say this to you. Your hurt, your hang-up, your habit, your sin does not end your relationship with God. And you know that to be true. How many of you, Now, I have to be careful here. Those of you that are parents, you know your kids aren't perfect. I have to be careful. Grandparents think they're perfect. Grandparents are wrong. But parents know they're not perfect. They make issues. How many of you, man, I had my kid. He was perfect for a while. First mistake he made, out the door. You're not my kid anymore. No. But the first problem between the two of you damaged the relationship. And confession and forgiveness brings it back. Listen, it damages it, and confession frees God to repair the damage. He is able to reassure you of how he feels about you. You get to experience forgiveness and mercy, freedom from guilt, freedom from the fear of being exposed. Confession applies the gospel in a real specific way. It celebrates the power of the cross. It guards against our tendency to not repent of our sin. It honors Christ, and it brings our life into the light where God can work. Healing is now possible. Grace can now be grasped, and all of this happens when we confess. And I'll tell you what, that list doesn't sound bad, does it? How many of you would like to have a tighter hold on grace? How many of you would like to experience the joy of forgiveness? How many of you would like to have healing in an area of your life where there's been hurt for a long time? How many of you would like to have the power of the cross living through you? It starts when you're a follower of Christ in confessing anything that's between you and God. It begins to repair the damage. Now brace yourself. Next one even gets tougher. Choosing to confess, number four, also activates the power of community with other believers. And some of you are thinking so loud right now, I can hear you. You've got to be kidding. You're pushing me to confess to God, and now you're saying I should confess to someone else? Look at this verse, James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Confess your sins to one another. Earlier in John 1, it says we're walking in, we should, as we walk in the light, he's in the light, and the blood of Jesus, it's experienced that we're all walking on the same path. We all go through some things, and when we share those with one another, good things happen. Listen to this statement. God's redemptive work in our hurt, habit, or hang-up is often channeled, and I've spent in my life, this happens a lot, is often channeled through those that he's placed around us. Fellow sinners who also need forgiveness and grace and help. Listen to me. Sin unconfessed is isolating. We at times become angry when somebody finds out about something we're hiding. We sometimes focus on the fact that they found out versus focusing on the thing that we're hiding. One person said this, he who is alone with his sin is utterly alone. Confession brings the possibility of connection and relationship. When we have something hidden, we're suspicious of others. We sometimes even blame others. And when we blame, we isolate. You see, we believe that they cannot understand what we're going through. Confession gains us allies in our struggle. The folks we've shared with can now pray for us. This very statement, some of you have heard this statement said, well, the Bible says that prayer by a righteous person makes a lot of difference. The context is when they're praying for our hurt, our habit, our hang-up, our sin, we've shared with them, and they're saying, let me pray with you so that God can help you experience this. This is what is said. It is said that a friend sings the song of our heart when we have forgotten the words. There is a value to sharing something that you've been carrying alone. It exchanges our denial and shortcomings for humility. It allows us to hear the stories of others. When you share with somebody else, they say, let me give you some encouragement. I've been there. I've done that. And when I did, I shared with somebody and they prayed for me and it helped and I climbed out of that hole and I'm going to pray with you and walk beside you and you're going to climb out too because I found God can work through others and God's going to work through me to help you. You'll find that. It also allows your story to be told. Confession allows grace to work in and through us. Now, let me say this very carefully, specifically. Most of the time, God won't have you step up here, take the microphone from me, and share in a church service about what's been going on with you. Most of the time, that's not the path towards God bringing the power of community together. But you ever hear us say it? We become more like Jesus together. You need to be with a group of believers where you've gotten acquainted enough with each other, where you've gotten comfortable enough with each other, where you can share life together, where you've heard their stories, they hear yours, to where you can walk in and say, you know what, I got to admit, I've got something I've never told anybody, and I want it different, and I want Jesus in the middle of it. You share that, they gather around you and pray, they walk with you, and God uses that to help. That's why one of the worst conditions you can be attending a church is to be in a church, even with a relationship with God, and you have no other relationships with fellow believers that you can share and lean on and confess to and find support and comfort. I challenge you, don't walk alone carrying the sin that God wants you to confess. One more. Matter of fact, number five, I'm going to tell you this. I almost cut the first 4 points out and just jumped to five. I cannot be more excited about this point. Choosing to confess brings Jesus squarely into our circumstances. Don't you want Jesus right in the middle of your hurt, habit, and hang-up? Confession is how you do that. 1 John chapter 2. Get ready. This is so good. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so you will not sin. This is John saying, man, I care about you. I don't want you to ever be hurt. I don't want you to ever have a habit you can't overcome. I don't want you to ever have a hang-up that's holding you back. I don't want you to ever have a sin that damages your relationship with God. I don't want that at all. Who would if you care about somebody? But if anyone does sin, and all of us that are not okay say, hey, I want to listen to this. Any of us that is not okay, that does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. Wonderful. Tell us who it is, John. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. We've sinned, he hasn't, and he's on our side. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the entire world. Isn't that cool? You and I confess, and we get Jesus Christ stepping right into the middle. Jesus Christ, we're afraid to confess because we say, what is he going to think? He says, I tell you what I think. I'm on your side. Listen to this. When we choose to confess, we place Jesus directly into our hurt, habit, hang up, our sin. He comes to our aid. He pleads our case with God. He reminds the Father he died for us. We're guilty as charged, but we have the best attorney possible pleading our case. And that attorney, that advocate is Jesus Christ. And when you confess, he jumps right in. Notice this confirmation from Psalm 32. The writer here says, I refuse. There was a time I refused to confess my sin. And my body, is that the first verse of that? Okay. I refused to confess my sin. My body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, he said, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Let me say this to you. Some of you smile when you walk in, wherever you are, you smile, you act like you're okay. But what's inside of you is eating you alive. You're laying awake thinking about tonight. You're worrying during the day. What you're hiding is devouring you. That's what he said here. Notice the next verse. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. What a relief when you don't have to work to say, man, I got to keep a lid on that. I said to myself, I'll confess my rebellion to the Lord. And notice these next two statements. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. And that release, that freedom, that joy that he writes here, it can be yours. It is waiting for you today if you choose to confess. Now, I'm going to show you a video in just a moment because I want to give you an image. And in this video, without telling you what you're about to see, I want to tell you what one of the participants in the video says about the video. There's two men in this video. One of the men you're going to see is going to be above the other man, and that's all I'll tell you for now. And he says these words about this video. He said, not many people trust me, but this guy does and did. I took care of everything. I packed his rig, and I asked him to put his life in my hand, literally, and I told him, trust me, this will turn out good for you. You ready? Watch this video. I'll walk you through it. Okay, the guy that I just quoted is laying on the board. The other guy is scheduled for a mental health evaluation next week. No. And there he is. Watch what happens. He says, grab my hand. I've packed the pack that's on the back of you. There he's showing he really doesn't have any sense, right? And watch what happens. He turns loose. Kaboom. He said, now why'd you show me that? Look at this. God's got a hold of you. He's telling you, I've fixed your pack. I've taken care of you. You can trust me. But you need to do something that's hard. You need to let go. Let go of concealing. Let go of what you have been holding on to so tightly, and you need to choose to confess. And if you do, I've taken care of everything. It will be okay for you. You will not crash. It will turn out well. He just wants you to turn loose. And some of you have been hanging on so tightly because you're afraid to confess. And I want you to see the image of God saying, I got it. I got you. I'll take care of you. But you have to choose to confess. Let's pray. God, in this moment, there's some hearts beating faster than others wherever they're watching this. And God, there's some folks right now that are trying to decide whether to trust their nature, whether to trust the culture, or whether to choose to confess. So God, I ask you in this moment to be the loudest voice and the clearest words into their heart. I pray you'd help them to know how to have courage to confess and to receive the benefits of forgiveness and a relationship made right with you. So God, move in this moment. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.